This is URN.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the second ever Melob Experience Show. Ooh. Just a second. And thank you, Serena, who has pointed out that I've put the microphones too high, as it turns out. I promised myself I'd put them slightly lower so that eardrums are preserved. But, you know, I have already failed at the first hurdle. So hopefully that is not an indication of how the show as a whole is going to go. But welcome back to the second ever Melob Experience Show. Now, you may be asking yourself, if you did not tune into the very first show, what is the Melob Experience? And that is indeed a very good question. It is an hour-long brain ramble zone, sometimes with guests, sometimes without. Today we do have a guest. However, if you do find us mildly entertaining, maybe this will go beyond spoken elevator music and turn into a very enjoyable hour. So, why the name Melob? Originally, when the show first started, Mella, make it ob, sounded funny, Melob. Mella is my last name. However, now outdated because I now have a co-host called Jacob. And so just...
Hi.
And there we are. So by luck, Jacob is now already incorporated into the show name. And so in the show, there are two regular sections as well as a special section. The regular section today consists of discovering The Apprentice and perhaps other shows, depending how time goes, as well as having a little natter about books. That seems to be sort of a consistent theme for us. And as for the special section, well... you'll have to continue tuning in to the end to find out, because I think we are also yet to find out. And so without...
but it'll be very special.
Very
that's
special.
For sure.
Exclusive to the last 10 minutes when we actually come up with it. And so without further ado, I'm your host, Ben. I'm joined by fellow host, Jacob, and our very special guest for today is Serena. So, how are you guys?
I'm well, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty well. I took a COVID test before coming here, so I can confirm that I'm well.
Well, just medically well.
Yeah.
I think I'm also, cognitively, physically sound.
Not too shabby.
Managed to actually get here, which is quite the surprise. I had to rush off. Was eating dinner at 2 o'clock.
Oh
set
my.
Off at 2:05.
Was it nice?
It was very nice, although I did have to leave, unfortunately, quite a bit of it due to my pure grind. To
dedication.
My dedication to make it to the show on time. You guys been doing much else today?
That's a very good question.
I've been playing a great game called Spiritfarers. You probably haven't heard of it. It's a very indie game, but I'd really recommend it. It's a game of where you basically are Charon, are like the person who carries spirits into the underworld. Very sad, very emotional. I sent one of my best friends to the underworld in this game today. It was really sad. I cried.
Banish them. How could you? What is that game even on?
It's on Xbox and Switch and PC. I'm playing it on PC. I'm
the
a PC gamer, but
I can get behind sort of PC gaming.
Yeah,
console
yeah.
gaming, not my thing.
No, really.
No, what? Why were you a console gamer?
Back in the day. Yeah, used to be quite the Xbox 360 then one. Bit of COD,
Not what I would have expected.
No, I know. Not so much now. I do have a Switch. Sometimes whip that bad boy out. Bit of Mario Kart,
Can't beat it.
It is a me.
I specifically brought a Switch just for Breath of the Wild, even though I did already own a Wii U, which it also came out on.
I always wanted that game, but I never got it.
It's interesting because that was the only decent game to come out on the Wii U, I think. So, if you already had a Wii U just for Breath of the Wild.
No, I had a Switch just for Breath of the Wild, but the Breath of the Wild also did actually come out on Wii U somehow, which can... I'm a proud Wii U owner, which is not something you're supposed to say.
No.
I'm assuming I'm the only Wii U owner here.
Yes.
You are correcting your assumption.
I am unfortunately isolated.
I have to admit, I did buy a Switch just for Animal Crossing. I basically buy every Nintendo console when the Animal Crossing game for that console comes out.
So I bet you've got a whole collection, back down to the DSs.
Yeah, well, the first Animal Crossing game came out on GameCube. I have played all Animal Crossing games, including the GameCube version.
Oh, wow.
Not that I have a GameCube, but you could play it on the Wii.
I think we're getting flexed.
I actually brought a knockoff GameCube controller, which I did believe was a real GameCube controller, just for playing Mario Kart on the Wii.
Yeah.
Because I had one of the old Wiis that actually you can plug it into the top, just to flex. Old Wii. So who knew that this show would start about a gaming discovery?
Wow.
I'm learning here. But surprisingly, we did actually have a plan this episode. Last time I had a three-page sort of prompt and script thing written out for the episode, Looked at it about once.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I believe me and Serena are already watchers of the show called The Apprentice. However, Jacob...
UK, to clarify.
Yes,
the US version.
Oh,
What?
Yes.
Do you want to know who the host of the US version is?
Oh, go on.
Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how he became famous.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh. I completely forgot about that, yeah.
Wow. And that, like, I've seen wow. clips of the show. It looks so stuffy.
I actually did see one series of The Apprentice US when I was about six.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I know.
Does he do the whole, you're fired?
Yeah, he does.
But like, it's just him, so it's not ill.
He ruins it with his very presence, really.
He is a bit of a turd. Which is quite related to the latest series of The Apprentice. Mm. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
The turd.
Am I just the only dumb one here?
The first two episodes, both of the boys' products.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is unfortunately my lack of memory. This is unfortunately my lack of memory playing into effect here. Yes, it wasn't it like the colour schemes and like the products and stuff?
Yeah.
Very feces-like. Mm. Yeah.
But particularly the first week, which is unforgivable, because they said they wanted to make it look like a person going into a wave, and then they made the wave brown and green, not the colour of waves one wants. Like, just make it blue. If it had been blue, it would have been fine.
It was just all wrong,
to
be honest.
It actually often makes me wonder, like, where did they get these people from? Like, some of them just seem to have just so little common sense. It's incredible. But
I'm the bestest, the smartest... The est.
No. You've committed a sin there.
I'm so sorry.
You know, just unforgivable. So I've actually just got up the episode list to remind myself what on earth they did in the episodes. So, oh, that was it. Because they had to get a logo for the cruise ship.
Yeah.
Like they
spoilers.
But it's episode one.
Well, I've only seen three so far.
Oh, God. Does this mean we can talk about the others?
I mean, yeah, go for it, honestly.
Yeah, go for
I
it.
We'll
crush your apprentice dream.
Please go for it, yeah.
So is this the first time you've actually watched The Apprentice?
It actually is, yeah. Because I know before I said to you that I thought I'd watched part of it, but I hadn't even watched that. I was confusing it with Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den is much more serious.
It is, yeah. I was going into this, like, blind-eyed, pretty much, and... it really shook me. I did not expect that. It's cheesy.
Reality TV?
Yeah, it's reality TV, but for BBC, I thought it was not what I expected at all.
No. So what did you kind of expect going into it?
Well, I always thought that... Okay, I was judging Lord Sugar by his appearance, which is not what we should do, but he looked very stern and... someone you don't want to mess with, and I still wouldn't, but
would you say he's not, you know, someone who you would mess with then?
I'd probably grab a beer with him. I don't even really? Drink, but I would.
that's not the impression I'd get. He's just like, I don't know, just like, he needs to like get like a proper shave. That's my opinion.
A proper shave.
Like, he's just got all that sort of white sort of can you even call that stubble?
It's stubble.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just like not the right. Well, then again, I don't know. It feels like an egg. I don't know if I could
confirmed.
Lord
Sugar is an egg.
He is an egg. You heard it here first. And so, yeah. So I'm just looking at the synopsis of the first episode.
I didn't realise there was one. To be honest, is that on Wikipedia?
This is on Wikipedia.
Oh wow.
So this is actually series 16 of The Apprentice.
Ooh.
And so do. I always find it quite strange that they split the teams up at the beginning into men and women. It reminds me a lot of Hell's Kitchen in that way.
Do they do that every time?
Yeah, that's like a very old... It does feel very old-fashioned. Mm. I suppose it's meant to be like a randomization of talent, but it just comes off as very old-fashioned and like...
Yeah, wasn't
there is no gender binary, etc., etc.
Unfortunately, for the men this time around, it seemed like the women were just absolutely crushing them before the team got properly mixed up.
The men can design things.
They were like Muppets, yeah.
Just no brain cells.
No.
Just to put it lightly. And so the first episode was doing a cruise ship sort of thing. What did you think to that, Jacob?
I thought it was a whale of a ride.
Whale of a ride?
Yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah. No, it was really interesting, but... so far with every episode, all of the three that I've watched,
all three,
yeah, all three, it seems like they fire the wrong person every time.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'm going to check who was fired.
I think it's because, like, in the past series, frequently it would just be the PM got fired, and it was just, like, well known that if you were the PM, particularly in the first week, you would definitely be fired. And so they tried to mix it up and be like, try not to fire the PM in the early episodes, but often it's the PM's fault. Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that this might be falling from the later episodes. I mean, my personal sort of, the person who I was rooting for this season was Akshay.
I also don't understand why Akshay kept on getting sent back into the boardroom. Like, I felt like everyone was just picking on him because they knew that he was vulnerable.
He lost, like, I think he'd only won
one
of his tasks, and he got fired. I must apologise, Jake, I'm going to spoil it. But he got fired last Thursday's episode.
Huzzah.
He just got picked on. Like, everyone, like, knew that he was suddenly vulnerable because he kept on going back to the boardroom. So every one time they were like, I'm going to bring Akshay back in, knowing that he was weak.
I kind of think he deserves it.
But he didn't do anything wrong.
From what I've seen, he doesn't really take on people's ideas or anything.
He did look
very headstrong.
Fair. I think I remember he was, like, a bit sort of plain in the first few episodes. I think he should be right.
Okay.
Spreads his wings as
and flies away.
Now he's going to be flying away back to his home. I mean,
does he have a home?
Does he have a home? Does he live on the streets? That is our question. I wonder if he gives us he should give us a background on this website from radiotimes.com of what he did before.
He lives in London.
Okay. He believes... Oh, here we go.
He believes sleeping is a waste of time. Okay, I'm judging him for that.
Yeah.
So, the full biography of Akshay. He believes sleeping is a waste of time, and that he was put on this earth to do one thing, and one thing only. Make money. He also speaks 7 languages, so can communicate with quote-unquote everyone. What a strange, biography by the Radio Times. Like, surely there's more things you can come up with than just...
Well, they did put he's 28 as well. To be fair,
I must apologise. I've just the key that I'm missing. He's 28. What can I say?
And he's a digital marketing agency owner.
That's all we need to know.
Like, I feel like, which is quite strange, because I feel like in a lot of the episodes, he was bigging up his selling ability. So I would have thought he would be something more hands on, like a digital marketing agency. That's just a very sort of, it's almost a very generic job, I feel.
It's a very millennial Gen Z kind of job.
Yeah. Definitely.
But so with your 3 episode experience, who are you rooting for to win?
The person that I was rooting for.
You can have a look through the full list if you forgot the people. If you forgot the people, thank you. Does anyone ever remember Connor, the full list of people?
I never did. My best friend always did every single series. We would talk about it, and she would know every single person's names. And I'd be like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
The person with the short black hair and the suit.
Yeah, I feel like the person who wore green in the boardroom.
that's the best I can offer.
Yeah.
Where's that lady gone?
Where's that? You've narrowed down half the candidates there.
Oh, there she is. Oh, she's gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Never mind.
Whoops.
I liked Francesca.
She was better than being eliminated in week 5, yeah. Francesca shouldn't have gone so early.
Wow. Well, yeah, all the people I liked seem to have been... Well, their clogs have been popped, apparently. Because I quite liked Navid as well, but he was fired in the last one, so... Oh. I don't know. Have you guys got a specific one that you're rooting for?
I'm rooting for Aaron. No contest. Aaron should win.
Yeah?
Yeah. Aaron is by far the most competent person on the show. I don't know why he was given the prize in week 1. It's so obvious Aaron is the best.
I mean, I was rooting for Akshay. I don't know. I always just go for sort of the... I don't know how I'd categorise them, but did you watch last year's?
Yeah.
See, I was rooting for Thomas Skinner in that one.
Oh, I can't remember. I don't know the name.
The guy with the fluffy pillow company.
Fluffy pillow company.
Big
sort
of burly, kind of blonde.
Oh yes, pillow. Of course. Yes, I know exactly who you mean. Yes.
Okay, we're on the same page. I think I tried searching up the company the other day. I think it's changed name.
Oh.
But now he's opened an actual physical bed shop, and it was opened by Rylan.
The Rylan.
Mm.
Wow.
Not that it is any use to you viewers, unfortunately, because you can only hear our lovely voices, not see. But however,
it's always good for us, though.
Just for Jacob's education, I will get the picture of
Thank you kindly.
Opening the
One question, though. concerning fluffy pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a pillow pet? Yeah, when you were younger. Did you have a pillow pet?
What is a pillow pet?
It's a pillow. It's a pet. It's a pillow pet. It's,
Well, thank you.
That was the tagline. No, they used to, like, they were just pillows in the shape of, like, lions and stuff like that.
Actually.
Oh, yeah.
I think and I might have done. Like, yeah. Then they fold out.
Yeah.
I had one. I can't remember what the animal was like.
I've still got mine. It's very tattered and...
Seeing better days. I mean, I've still got a teddy from when I was four.
Mm.
You know, it's been all over the world with me. You know, this is... how about you, Serena? Have you got any teddies?
Yeah, I've got... Well, I don't, like, use them anymore, but I've got a toy dog that was given to me before I was born. So technically, I have a teddy that's older than me.
Oh, my. Woof.
Is it even a dog?
It is definitely a dog. It's 100% a dog.
Okay.
There's no denying its dogness.
The wolf is appropriate. But have you guys ever seen, like, a clone of, like, your favourite teddy? Because I've never seen, like, a second one of mine. But, like, you think if they're made in a, like, factory, that's you'd assume there is others out there.
Yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to, like... There must be, like, a forum on the internet that's, like... The teddy bear forum, and there's, like a load of fanatic people about... Teddy bears.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, I'm from Norwich, and there's this place called the Bear Shop, and it's just full of bears, full of teddy bears.
Isn't Norwich in the middle of nowhere?
It is. Excuse my French, but the bumhole of England. Yeah.
Well, we'll say that's a direct quote, so we can get it on.
It's sort of in the middle of a very flat area of land, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. In comparison to here, at least.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Nice though. Would recommend, especially if you like bears. Oh my! Oh wow!
Go. Yeah, there you go.
Rylan.
As the Daily Mail reports, Rylan Clark fulfills his promise to open the apprentice's Tom Skinner's bed shop in Essex after joking he was tricked into attending the launch. Because I had to try and piece it together from not caring on Twitter.
Mm.
But basically, I think
he's got such shiny teeth. Sorry,
he does.
I always forget how. Yeah, he's got pearly whites.
I just remember seeing him on, like, Celebrity Gogglebox once with his mum. I think it was his mum.
Yeah?
It's just like, teeth were also noticeable then. Like,
aren't we basically just doing a slightly worse version of Gogglebox right now?
Pretty much.
Beta Gogglebox. Without the goggles.
Yeah. Oh.
We have the box.
The voice box.
if our current show name gets tired, you know, the voice box. But do you remember the chap now? You've definitely
I 100% remember him. I wanted him to go much earlier than he did. I was rooty against him.
What?
I don't know. I just
this was not a fan. I believe in Thomas Skinner's sacking last year, like, Alan Sugar gave, like, a big speech. Was like, if I wanted you to dig me a trench, I'd know you'd dig me a trench and something like that. But if I wanted you to run my business, I don't know if you could do that, so it's with regret, Thomas. You're fired. Was that not a good impression?
That was amazing. Outstanding.
Thank you. Yeah. But, can you do a better Lord Sugar impression?
Don't. No. No, don't it's get not. Me to this. I've seen 3 episodes.
I'd also have to be, like, cut my legs off from the knee down, because he's very short.
He is rather, isn't he? Like, before, I'd only ever seen him in photos sitting at the table, at the desk. But now, like, he stands in all these episodes. He actually has feet and legs.
Well, he likes...
It's incredible. Is short, yeah.
Did you see the... Oh, no, if you only got to episode 3, you wouldn't have seen the gaming episode.
No,
the gaming episode really made me cringe.
It was bad.
I mean, admittedly, like I mentioned before, I play very weird indie games, so I feel like I wouldn't have been able to make a good mass market game, because they clearly wanted a mass market game. I would have been like, let's make a story-based narrative in which we're running a small potion shop or something, and they would have been like, it made me cringe so much.
One of the teams went for an educational game about sort of saving penguins in the Arctic.
Yeah.
Which they spelt Arctic.
And also there are no penguins in the actual Arctic or the Arctic.
They are in the Antarctic.
Yeah.
So, considering that you're trying to make an educational game about the environment, you spell Arctic wrong, and you also get the main residents of the Arctic wrong. It wasn't a good look. Did they? I'm assuming they lost.
Yeah, they definitely lost.
Not surprising. But it's quite interesting because, okay, I found him. I can now look at the name. Akeem was the manager of the team that won, wasn't he? Was he the one that won?
I thought Akeem was the manager of the team that lost, but oh. Maybe...
Right, hang on. I'll nip back to the Wikipedia. Excuse the silence.
Wikipedia is not helping. Either way, Akeem, winner or loser, like, he was just very, like... he's not going to make it that far. I mean,
from what I can gather, he doesn't seem too competent. No.
No, because the thing is like from especially when he was project manager in the gaming episode.
Yeah.
Like basically, imagine give me your idea on anything.
On anything.
On anything.
To do with gaming?
Just, you can do
anything.
Oh.
Anything. Just give an opinion.
An opinion. I think that Marmite is tasty.
And then imagine I'm someone on your team. Marmite is not tasty.
You're fired.
That is the opposite of that. So basically, he would be like, yeah, I'm really passionate, I'm really strong, I think we should go with this, I think this is a winner, I know what the market wants, I think Marmite is tasty. Mm-hmm. And you would say...
it is tasty.
Okay.
No.
No. I'm not getting this.
Okay, so you be Akeem. I'll be anyone else on the team.
Okay. Right. Listen, we are now going to act out The Apprentice. Very easy. Please
do. Yeah. I'll watch this.
Right. I'm an expert in the gaming market. I know what the market wants. You know, we need this game that has like blue squares in it.
Well, I think blue squares are terrible. We should have pink triangles.
Okay, well, now that I've taken on your feedback, I think we should have pink triangles. You know, I completely agree. That is the right direction. I know what the market wants, pink triangles.
Wow. And
that was a rendition of The Apprentice by Ben and Serena.
However, I have been unfair to Akeem because his team did win that task. I was wrong. His team won.
Oh, yeah. Good going.
So maybe there is a virtue to being excessively pragmatic.
I do also think that they played that up, particularly because he was project manager again in the pod task, and clearly in the pod task they just edited it so that they only show moments where he changed his mind about something. So there must have also been moments where he didn't change his mind, but they were just cut out and it was just a series of Akeem changing his mind over and over and over again.
Well, that's the thing, because I suppose you have to remember it is reality TV, as sad as it is to say. And despite reality TV being called reality, it's often far from not. Because, like, the boardroom section is, like, what? 10 minutes of the episode?
20, actually.
Oh, wow. She knows her stuff.
She does know her stuff. This is why she is the... she's appointed apprentice expert of the Mellop experience. But 20 minutes of the episode, however, kind of ex-contestants have said that the boardroom section actually takes, like...
hours.
Like, 4 to 5 hours.
Really?
Because, like, they just go... Like, Lord Trooper's, like, just sat there, you know, being sort of a...
Hammering at them.
And like just actually getting feedback on how they did, and then they like show the juicy bits.
Yeah.
But like, I could not sit there for 4 to 5 hours. I can't sit for a 2 hour lecture.
No.
Just going completely numb. So that is too long.
I feel you on that one.
Plus,
or rather don't.
I feel like I read that it's not actually a week between tasks, it's much shorter time between tasks.
Oh, is it?
I think. Which kind of makes sense because, like, well, they'd just be living in a nice house in London for a week in between them. Mm. Like, that doesn't really make any sense.
Most of the tasks, like, are only, like, a day or a couple of days.
Yeah.
That would actually make sense, to be fair.
So I think, like, maybe they get, like, one rest day between the tasks, but I'm pretty sure it's not, like, a week between tasks. So, like, they have to do like, go through that pretty frequently. Like, probably every 3 days they're going through that boardroom.
In fact, actually, wasn't there a contestant... This season, a contestant who left because of the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was on
the was in the last episode I watched.
Ooh, yeah. Well. Navid, Nick, Sophie...
There we go.
Sharma Amin. Withdrew in week 3, and she was the owner of a child. She was the owner of a children's day nursery in isn't Bradford somewhere local, or am I getting completely mixed up? Oh, I'm thinking of Bradford.
Okay.
Bradford's close. Not local as it turns out, but
it's local to someone.
Well, it might be local to, you know, if you are listening into the show.
Or Bradford. Text then Bradford's in. Very local to you.
Send a message in. Are you from Bradford? We want to hear from you. Send a message. After the beep.
Beep.
And there's the beep. Please speak now. But, I really don't know who's going to win The Apprentice. Like, I don't know. You mentioned Aaron.
I'm so rooting for Aaron.
I think Aaron is, like, a good contender. Cause, like,
he's pretty solid.
He does seem to actually have his head screwed on.
Yeah.
Which is handy in this.
For me, it's Aaron or Catherine. I would be happy with Aaron or Catherine winning.
Well, I think it might be.
Excuse me?
Catherine.
I think Harpreet has a good shot.
Harpreet's good. Yeah, Harpreet's good too.
Although I don't know how I feel about working under Harpreet, given how she did in like the food. Well, not the food episode, but where. Wasn't it like a track day experience and they had to cook?
Whenever they have to cook, it's always a disaster. Yeah. It doesn't matter. That's just a universal constant of The Apprentice. Do not let them cook.
That's the thing that surprised me, because on that episode where like they cooked the food, like they were doing deals with a catering company beforehand, like sort the food out.
Yeah, and surely, they had to cook. Yeah.
Surely you might as well just go down to like Tesco, save yourself a lot of money. Like they were paying like £20 per person, and they're not even getting the cooking done for them.
Particularly when the catering company was trying to charge them like £35 per person just for a box of ingredients and the use of their kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
Like, no, that was so much money. That was such a ripoff. I agree with you. I thought that it would be cooked for them.
Like, because they're not there. Like, oh, you can cook. You're hired.
Yeah.
He's not looking for a personal chef. I mean, although to be fair, Harpreet was she was just cracking the whip. It was Akeem in the kitchen with her, wasn't it? It's like, get the rice on. Jesus, like, makes Gordon Ramsay look tame.
I don't know. I just like, they never seem to be competent cooks. I've never seen a single episode where they're decent cooks at all, throughout all the series.
Can I review cook at all?
I think I can cook.
You think
well.
You can?
Well, I've cooked food that has turned out very nice, and I can do a variety of meals.
That's a good resume.
But, you know, there is only, I can only say think until I can factually prove it to you yourself.
Okay, and yourself?
Well, I think that one of the problems they frequently have is that they're cooking on large batches and they get the measurements wrong. They get the maths wrong for how much they should include different ingredients. So I could do that bit.
Okay.
I'm confident in my ability to measure out the ingredients correctly.
That's something.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you cook?
I like a bit of cooking.
Yeah. Don't you stay in self-catered company?
I do indeed.
You kind of
for that
have
purpose.
To.
Yeah, yeah. There's that.
I'm thinking of, on a not apprentice-related topic, I'm thinking of going to accommodation next year. Scandalous, I know. I'm one of the
dun, dun, dun.
I'm one of the golden boys who currently has a parking permit for campus. Very rare. Never met a single other person who has. But like, how is it like cooking for yourself?
Stressful at times.
Mm.
Certainly, because life gets in the way and then you have to like shove something together and it can take a lot of time, but I think it's nicer being able to do it whenever you can / want to, like, and eat whenever you can / want to, and also I consider myself a fair cook, I'd say, so yeah, it's not so bad. But you're considering going to self-catered then, or
yes, I am. I'm thinking of going to Broadgate Park.
Oh,
you know, the very elusive.
Very
is
nice.
It, is it owned by the? It's very closely affiliated with the university. I don't know if it's very owned much. By them.
I assumed I'm that sure. It was because it's on the university website. It's like an official accommodation, but maybe not.
Well, that might have to be the investigation for next time.
That should be an episode of The Apprentice. They should have to pitch student accommodation to students. That's that would be a great episode.
That's a good idea,
why
yeah.
haven't they done that yet?
Because I say that. Students have more common sense than the average apprentice. So that would actually be quite interesting. So
they did do an episode where they had to try and sell apartments to just like ordinary members of the public. They were very posh London apartments, so slightly different student accommodation.
So that would be like... So, Lord Sugar, if you're listening, you know, give us a call.
Yeah.
Give the message. Do you guys want to go to a song break and then chat about books afterwards?
Sure
probably,
thing.
Probably should, yeah.
We should, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll end up like our first episode where we spent 50 minutes talking about one particular section. We shall be good at two shoes and actually follow the outline sections. So do join us after the song break for a chat, a little natter, a little mother's meeting.
Yeah.
Despite none of us being mothers. I assume you're not a mother.
I'm not a mother, no.
Not a mother. And we physically can't be mothers.
Well. In another life.
In an alternative universe, we would be mothers. But even though we did not talk about the show Arcane at all, it is a show I absolutely love. So I'm going to play the intro song from Arcane, Enemy by Imagine Dragons, and join us after that song. For a little... Well, actually, we could say father's meeting. There's two men and one woman here. Father's meeting. Join us for a father's meeting afterwards.
Sure.
I wake wake up to the sounds of the silence that allows for my mind to run around with my ear up to the ground. I'm searching to behold the stories that I told when my back is to the world that was smiling when I turned. And the laughter in the holes and the names that I've been called. I stack it in my mind and I'm waiting for the time when I show you what it's like to be worse fit in the mind. Tell you
for me. I'm praying that somebody hope for me. I'm staying where nobody supposed to be. Posted, being a wreck of emotions. Ready to go whenever you let me know. The road is long, so put the pedal into the flow. The energy on my trail, my energy unavailable. I'ma tell him I see the way go. Hey, when I fly on my drive to the top, I've been out of shape, thinking out of the box, I'm an astronaut. I blasted off the planet, rock that caused catastrophe, and it matters more because I had it. Now I had, I thought about wreaking havoc on an opposition. Kinda shocking, they want a static with precision. I'm automatic, quarterback, I ain't talking second, pack it, pack it up, I don't panic, batter up. Who the baddest? It don't matter, cause we is your
That was funky.
We're back in the room.
Wow. In the voice box.
In the voice box, you know, not no longer the Metal Experience show. The voice box. Both for this episode, anyways. But yes, do welcome back. I'm thinking of calling this section, because the last section didn't come up with a name, you know, but this section of the Waterstones Strikes Back.
Oh. Oh, do you like a Waterstones then?
I do like a Waterstones. No, you like a Waterstones?
Yes, but we are middle class white people, so it's not that surprising.
Mm. Yeah, that's very funny.
I think we spoke about this last episode. Have you ever been to the Five Leaves Bookshop in Nottingham?
Yes, I have, yes.
Cool.
We're all on the same page. We have all done Exploration of Nottingham. So, I remember promising last episode that I would update you guys on my progress in reading the first Twilight book.
Yeah.
You're pulling a face.
Why?
There is a long winded story behind this. I had a friend.
I'm of the same opinion.
What? Okay, but I'm being, you know, it's all coming out now. To reference the last song, Everyone's Gonna Be My Enemy.
Yes.
Okay. But unfortunately, or fortunately for you guys, I've made no progress because I'm currently in a reading rut. Mm-hmm. I just haven't had the motivation recently to get
what
reading.
Can I say? I often find that happens when I'm reading a bad book.
Shade.
No, it's because I read such a good book in December, like nothing can compare. Mm-hmm. I think I spoke about it last episode. Everybody in this room will someday be dead. God, it was so good. But I believe you had a book that you had wanted to chat about today.
About today? Oh, yeah, well, I have a question for you guys, first and foremost, yeah. Have you ever read a book that has fully immersed you? Perhaps to the point where you no longer wish to be a part of reality?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know about wish to be a part of reality. I read lots of like very dark fantasies. I don't want to be in the world of the Poppy War. It's very dark. It's also based on reality, so
they're quite
saucy in that world
as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good book. I recommend it very much. But like, I'm not sure I would want to be there.
Mm.
Or like, oh my god, I forgot what it's called. Red Wolf, Black Panther, for example. Like, an amazing book. I'm really immersed in it. I wouldn't want to be there either. Like, no. I read a lot of this very dark fantasy and sci-fi. I'm like, I don't want to be there. But I am immersed in it.
Would be a bad time.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of you guys ever read the Shadow and Bone series, or Six of Crows, which is in the same universe.
I've only seen the Netflix show.
I've seen a bit of the show as well,
I've also seen the Netflix show. Oh, God, it was so good. The casting was absolutely perfect for that. But I think I'd want to... I wouldn't mind visiting the Shadow and Bone universe.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to stay there. There's
a little weekend getaway.
Just a weekend getaway in Ketterdam, a, you know, half okay Venetian lake, half...
Yeah.
Filled with drugs and crime city. Okay, the more I think about it, maybe it's not a holiday there would not go so well. I might get pickpocketed. But...
Oh, just a normal day out in Nottingham.
A normal day out in Nottingham.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with that one.
It went definitely a normal day out in Venice.
Mm. Oh, have you been to Venice?
I have not been to Venice, but I've heard stories.
Oh, saw them pigeons.
What, in Venice?
Yeah, there's a lot of pigeons.
Have you been to Venice?
No.
Okay.
I've seen the pigeons.
Okay. You've telepathically communicated with the pigeons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I'm just not... I do not have that brain power.
No.
I must apologise for that.
That's all right. Next time.
My superpower is lacking. Yeah.
But is that what you're saying, though? You'd like to be, like, in that sort of world?
I don't know. I think I'd... it'd be cool if I was... a Grisha, which is basically one of the people with funky magical powers. But if I was like a normal citizen, I would not have such a hot time.
No.
Just, you know, a little bit of war. We do a little bit of warring, you know. But yeah, no. But the problem is most of my other sort of books I read, which is mostly YA fiction, like, it's like almost sort of... No, I would not want... Short answer, no, I don't think I would actually, in reality.
No, you're happy with your life?
I'm fairly content, you know.
Oh, that's great news.
Radio show on the go.
Someone's doing well.
I know. Look at me go. Why would you stay in an alternate universe?
Good question. I wonder where you got that from.
Well, I stole it from a host of mine.
I would indeed, actually.
Ooh.
Specifically, The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern. Which I've just found out in the break, a special someone on this show does not like very much.
Well, I haven't actually read The Night Circus, so I can't. I've read The Starless Sea, and I hated it so much, I was like, I'm never going to read another book by Erin Morgenstern. I don't like their writing style.
It's a shame you started with that one. Yeah.
Is that not up there?
I didn't mind it so much, but in comparison to The Starless Sea, which was her first one, her debut novel, actually, 2011. It's not all that great.
No.
Because I found The Night Circus really enchanting. Like, it drags you into the world, and it's almost like kind of a Wizarding World-ish, bringing back the Harry Potter, but set in a circus, obviously. Mm. That just appears out of nowhere.
Close
and
the name.
It kind of is, yeah, at night as well. Who would have thought?
Wow.
But yeah, it's a really, it's got a bit of every kind of genre, I felt.
Mm.
And there's a bit of fantasy as well, for your liking, yeah.
A little sprinkle.
Some romance, if you're into that.
Yeah. Do you like a bit of sprinkle of romance?
Oh, do you?
I think I'd say that's probably like my favourite sort of weird book genre. I'd say any genre.
Yeah.
With a little subplot of romance.
Yeah.
That's
most books.
No, but like, just like, oh, is it? I don't know. Maybe my book reading is lacking.
I have the opposite opinion. I think that like romance subplots are massively overused in fiction, and that I would like more friendship subplots. Like, fewer romance subplots, more friendship subplots.
Mm. Like, I feel on that one,
queer, found family building subplots are what I go for.
Have you ever heard of the author called Alice Oseman?
Yes.
Have you read Loveless?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we go. I mean, admittedly, that did have a romantic subplot between Pip and Georgia, if I remember the character names correctly.
I don't think it wasn't Pip.
Oh, no, Georgia's the main character.
Yeah, Georgia's the main character.
Pip
and another character.
Rooney, was it? Yes, it was Rooney, because the kind of couple name was Pepperoni.
Oh, right.
So. I'm impressed. Well done.
you know, me having memory, not a Loveless actually features like a very nice sort of, well, I suppose you've read it, haven't you, but a nice friendship between Georgia and Rooney, and you know, that was very symbolically told by the houseplant that was in their joint dorm room, I feel. Mm. I mean, did you think that was a satisfactory book for getting rid of the romance?
Okay, so before I came to Nottingham, I went to Durham University, which is where Loveless is set. Ooh. And I had a roommate in first year, because everyone at Durham has a roommate in first year, so it was literally like my life. Like, I knew exactly what streets they were talking about. I was like, I've been to that theatre, I've been there so many times, I know exactly which building in university college you're talking about. So it was like, it was a bit too real for me. I was like, this could just be my life that I just happened to write a book about.
Well, which character would you be if you...
Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Considering...
The main character,
you know.
Of course, you've got those vibes, yeah.
Sorry, I try not to have main character syndrome too much, but in this case...
You know, in this one case... No, you're allowed to.
Thank you.
I mean, what can I say? You are a special guest on a exclusive radio.
It's true.
You are for... I mean, if you don't include the show where you was a guest before you became a co-host, you are our first guest.
I feel awful. I've just displaced you.
Unless you want to be co-host too.
No, I'm okay, thanks.
Wow.
Well, rejected.
Yeah. But yeah, is there any like book character that you feel like you are, like you could strongly relate to?
I don't know about relate, but I always wanted to be Percy Jackson. Hmm. Like, he was just... my God.
you know, waking up every morning, kneel down, say a prayer, have an altar.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, Perseus.
Oh, dear. I discovered that the student union building actually has a full-on chapel yesterday.
Oh.
Like,
well, yeah.
I knew there was, like, a prayer room, but, like, if you literally turn around where the prayer room is, there's, like, it just says, I haven't been in it. But it's literally just like fancy wooden doors, and it's like the chapel.
That's pretty nice.
I mean, are any of you guys religious? Have you been in there? You know, you might have to give a chapel review.
I can't say I have, no. But I think it's nice that they've got a little thing for everyone in this little SU.
You know, I mean, it's a nice fancy building, which I also learned is technically counted as two buildings.
Oh.
So that's why the shutter closes at night for fire reasons. It's like basically this front sort of stone bricky section is separate from the like moderny sort of othery section on the other side, and like you can tell the floor like raises slightly, the difference between the two.
I never would have known that.
Well, the floor does raise slightly, yeah.
See,
the more you know.
I wonder if there's a tax reason why it needs to be two buildings. Whenever weird stuff like that happens, there's usually a tax reason behind it.
Mm. Also, I know you have. But you have done this thing, because we did last week, but have you ever been in the tunnel that connects Portland to Trent?
I have, but not all the way.
Why not?
Because the one time I wanted to go in it all the way, it was locked. Not a very exciting reason.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it was locked at the Trent end.
Oh, that's a shame.
You had to walk back through the tunnel.
Well, that's very sad.
Oh, I feel like the Trent tunnel is something you only discover if someone else shows you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it's just like... I can't find anything on the website about it.
Yeah.
It's also like, speaking of books, it feels like it'd be a place where a book would be set. Like there's like some mythical spirit that lives in the tunnel.
It's like some Gandalf figure guiding you through.
I was thinking more sort of like a Harry Potter ghost rather than like a...
Okay.
Puny. Mm-hmm. You know, they interface through the walls and hide.
I'm not sure how well Nottingham University is set up for a dark academia story. We need more sort of old buildings for dark academia.
I mean, even like the fancy Trent building, that was built in like the 1920s, I think.
Yeah.
But, oh, wow, you know your history.
Well, you know, what can I say? I have a boring life.
I dabble.
I dabble in Wikipedia, you know.
Yeah.
We do a little searching.
Oh, actually, I did a bit of searching earlier.
Ooh.
This is completely unrelated to anything to do with the university, but... If we're going back to my hometown, Norwich.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a thing called Dwile Flonking. Yeah, which is an English game, a pub sport involving two teams of 12 players, each taking a turn to dance around the other while attempting to avoid a beer-soaked dwile, which is a cloth, thrown by the non-dancing team.
Right.
Yeah.
Well...
Difficult to imagine.
Yeah, I know. Slightly, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
Might have to post a picture of a Dwile Flonking.
Should we have a go?
Well, I don't have any beer with me, nor do I drink.
Mm.
Oh, there's definitely been...
Got a few wet cloths, though.
Mm. There's definitely been, like, an accidental game of that in the studio at some point.
I should imagine so, yeah.
I mean, I think, it was either last week or the week before they set a record for the most people on a show. They're, like, they managed to... I don't know if any of our listeners have actually seen sort of the radio studio that we're sat in now, but they managed to fit about, I think, 20 people in here.
Whoa.
For one show.
That's a tight squeeze.
Yeah.
It must have been boiling. It gets very warm in here if lots of people come in here.
Mm. Yeah.
And also in summer, which I'm not looking forward to. Like, I remember in when I first started the radio in October, and I was being shown around, I was like, well, you know, tugging at the old collar, you know, how sort of warm it was, you know, like a... And also, that was before I kind of fully got a dress sense. I believe I was wearing shorts, which was appropriate, but I just was like... Yeah, it just didn't work as an outfit, but we don't talk about those times. But yeah, it was just absolutely boiling in here. I was like, oh God, I hope it like cools down. Can't really get aircon in here either, because otherwise then the microphones would be going... Boom! so that also would not work. But I don't know how you got involved in the radio, Jacob. How did you get involved in the radio?
How did I get involved in the radio? Well, no, it's you. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Your question.
You can become Serena if you want.
I can. Well, I'd love to be. You're the main character.
I'm sorry. I did radio. I did the news at the radio at Durham. And so I was like, yep, I was kind of doing radio in Nottingham.
Mm.
Very boring reason, basically.
How were you at Durham, by the way?
Like a year and a half, but like I was only really mentally there for a year.
Fairs.
Understandable.
Yeah.
What actually made you change from Durham to here? If that's the question, you know, if that's the question you don't
want
to
answer. I was very ill, so I...
Yeah. We'll leave that. But,
yeah.
But yeah, and so, you know, started University Radio in Nottingham. Is it just... Me and yourself actually met on...
The Pulse,
the news discussion show that is on 5 till 6 every weekday. Do tune into that.
We're on Friday, so only listen on Friday.
The best that's when me and Serena are on. But... Was you on any other show before that, or was it just The Pulse that you did?
No, so I basically did news at Durham, and I just wanted to do news. So basically, I used to want to become a journalist, and so I did like lots of like journalism-related things,
very nice.
Including radio news.
And that is news. That is news.
That is quite.
The tale of how me and how Jacob got into the radio.
Hi.
Hello. I feel like it is not exciting, but it's also like it can be told in a very dramatic way.
Oh, can it?
Yes. So, you know, I was sat there in the studio, you're just minding my own business.
And I was walking to the studio.
To the studio. And then suddenly there was a knock on the door. I don't know if that'll be picked up on the mic. if you can, there was that on the studio window. And you had come up to pick a picture up on behalf of another sort of studio station member.
You are correct. Yes.
Yes, my memory is serving me well. And, you know, as you came in to pick up the photo, you know, we engaged in conversation.
Yeah.
And I gave you a tour of the studio.
It was pretty saucy.
Pretty saucy. And then I, you know, popped the question, not of marriage, but, you know, how much do you know about books? And as it turned out, you answered.
I mean, I read.
You read. And, and then ever since then, I invited you on, and thank God, by the way, I did, you know, you did come into the studio that day, because if I was just doing the show by myself, Jesus Christ, it would be But, like...
Thank you.
You know, I...
feel honoured.
You bring the energy. You bring the funk.
Oh, bless your heart.
You know, your trousers, they're like, you know, they're primed... How would you describe, like, stripes, but not like...
Yeah.
Vertical stripes?
Funkier
than whatever I'm wearing in a nutshell.
I'm not entirely sure. Sometimes I feel like a sailor, but these aren't really my sailor sort of trousers.
You're not going to be singing the weatherman anytime.
No. Not my jam.
I'm not going to sing that because I cannot sing. But that said, despite not being able to sing, I have made a replica music video before.
Have you?
Yes, I might show that to you guys once the show is finished. I do not dare play show or in other ways promote that on air. That, you know, this is a private affair, however. mainly due to cringe. You need a high tolerance of cringe to watch it.
Mm.
But yeah, ever since that day, I invited you onto my show and then became a co-host.
Here we are.
Was that dramatic enough?
Well, it certainly lasted a few minutes.
Yeah, it lasted a few minutes.
I think some creepy music in the background to go along with the knock. would have helped. some more tension as to like who was going to knock on the window. Because now we know it's Jacob.
Yeah, come on, let's...
Oh, let's see if we can make this work. I do apologise since the speaking has gone a little quiet.
It
but this is
slightly.
Because we are doing the greatest of efforts to get you, our listener, some spooky music as we reenact it.
Da-da.
3 hours of scary, ominous and creepy horror music. Okay, let's play that. Let's hope it's being picked up by the microphone, which it probably will be. I'm check. Yes, it is being picked up by the microphone. Okay, so here is our ominous music.
Oh my.
And there's that knock. through the door comes... Let's
very threatening knock.
To a dramatic tone. That is not dramatic, but yes. I hope that sets the scene.
Oh, hi there.
So
it's the juxtaposition that we're going for.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah.
The ominous music, the spooky knock, and then, you know, Jacob, as it turns out, is a ray of sunshine of a human being.
Oh.
You, every time I've seen you, you're just very optimistic.
Well, sometimes you gotta be.
Sometimes you gotta be. You are optimistic for the show.
Yeah, I like a bit of radio. I'm a big listener with my ears,
yes,
of
that is,
music and all.
That is good for a radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have something that's sort of related, but not, that I'd like to quickly mention that's to do with you, Serena.
Whoa.
Hi. So, before this, you told me how you're working on a script / editing one, right? Or
yeah, so I'm not editing it, I'm doing the sound design for Jekyll,
yeah,
Hyde, Hilda and Martin, which is coming to Nottingham New Theatre, 6th mm-hmm. and 9th of April.
Oh, goodness me. Well, officially now this is our special section, Serena on the Theatre.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
We will not have a special section.
Tell us about it.
So basically, it is a comedy retelling of the strange adventure of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which brings in a lot of other Victorian literature characters. So I don't know if you've ever read The Mysterious Escape of Uriah Heep by H.J. Perry. A great book, I would recommend if you hadn't. But that book basically is like, what if loads of Victorian literature characters were transplanted into modern New Zealand? Odd book, but quite fun, quite meta. And it's basically very similar to that, but with the plot of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It isn't set in Victorian London, but it's very modernised. Mm. We've got Lizzie Bennet, we've got Lady Bracknell from Moments of Being Earnest, we've got Dorian Gray from Portrait of Dorian Gray.
Oh, yes.
We've
Let's
got
go.
Jekyll and Hyde, and we've got like modern characters, modern interpretations, modern music, but also like a Victorian setting, great period costumes, drama, zombies, time travel, you know, everything that you could want, really.
Well, when are these fantastic shows?
On the 6th to the 9th of April, every evening from the 6th to the 9th, plus a matinee performance on the 9th.
Yummy.
And what time?
7:30, and then the matinee is at 2:30.
It is indeed. I've got it up here. Yeah.
Jacob,
just fact checking. Yeah.
You have passed the test.
I also quite like the description of the play on the New Theatre website. Jekyll's your typical Victorian gent, stylish lifestyle, high profile friends, a few shillings in his pocket, one sugar in his tea. He just can't seem to get his research approved, so he bites the bullet and experiments on himself, and accidentally gives himself another personality, and another. And another.
There's going to be some great dramatic music in it.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, some very menacing music for Mr. Hyde, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Some more cheerful music for some of the other personalities. It should be good. Some great jokes mocking Charles Darwin, if you're anti-Charles Darwin. Some great jokes mocking the British Empire, which you should be anti.
Have both of you read Jekyll and Hyde, then?
In school.
Yeah.
If that counts.
Same with me.
I haven't actually. I've only read this script. I really ought to before I work on the play.
You know what? I can respect that.
Were you not a fan of Jekyll and Hyde?
No, I actually did like
it.
That's good. I think I watched a show or a movie about it as well. Like a very sort of oldie one.
Mm.
And it was actually quite good. But I'm sure the play will be even better. So, you know... the recording of the show will be put up, and I will also tweet about the sort of theatre times as well to help the promotion. But unfortunately, the time is 4:02, and so I think that sort of that is a good note to end on, chatting about, you know, a promotion of the upcoming theatre shows. So,
oop, oop.
You know, so a big
big thank you to Serena for putting up with myself and Jacob for
thank you kindly.
no effort was required. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, lovely. And so, you know, I'd also like to say thank you to my fantastic co-host Jacob.
And thank you, Ben.
Oh, wow, thank you. Oh, I feel blessed. And so, we shall be passing you over to, I think it's the gaming show after us. It might, I think it is. If it's not, I'm sure the next show will be correcting me. But yes, I will be playing a little song, and then there might be another song, depending how long it takes them to set up. And then the show after us will be coming on. But thank you so much for tuning into the Mellup Experience. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Woo!
It is not the gaming show. It's Water Coconut / What Is This?
Okay. Well, I stand corrected. I'd like to, you know, apologise for these serious violations. Thank you, and good night.